This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz coming up in a half an hour. The top five of five with Honest Jack. Jack Fritz not in with us this week as he is on paternity leave. So we have his AI duplicate who cannot tell a lie. Honest Jack will do the top five of five. It was eventful last time. We will get to what Trey Turner said about hitting leadoff in a moment. Before that, my computer is frozen. No, here it is. Chris from Middletown, you're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Good afternoon, Ike, Spike, and Napping Jack.
Yep. Tweeting Jack.
Tweeting Jack.
Yeah.
Spike, are you going to change his name on the show to Jack the Camera since, you know, and he works part-time now?
Oh, no. Nah, and when he's here, he's here.
This is the time of the year Joe D starts to take off.
Take his days off, yes. His Fridays. Yeah, I would not put... I would love to tease Jack and make him agitated, but putting him in the same category as the camera from
that low.
Yeah, from a days off category feels like a low blow.
All right. I just wonder, too, maybe if it was part of his plan, like he's just trying to buy time that he doesn't have to talk about anything else other than the Phillies and he comes back for that. But
I believe that's part of it.
Yeah, but I think if the Eagles let me ask you this, Chris. If the Eagles lost in the Super Bowl and Jalen Hurts threw three interceptions, do you think Jack would be off this week? Do we really think Jack would be off this week? Is that what we think?
He told Sutton he has to wait.
Yeah, well, victory lap Jack, you know?
To be fair, I think he'd have a partner running laps with him there, Spike, you know?
Yeah, maybe. But I'm here, you know?
I know you are, brother. You're here. Guys, quick on the Cam Jurgens thing. I think personally this sounds like, sounds like you had this. I know I had the surgery on my back, like a microdiscectomy.
Yeah.
You know, not that major. You know, he'll be back. So I'm not really worried about it. I do want to, you know, say that I do think Saquon did have the best season in 50 years. I was tempted to say ever in Eagles' career, and then I heard you guys talking about Reggie White, and I did have a privilege watching him. Yeah, man, that guy was on his own different planet. As much as Saquon is, that guy did it for a very, very long time. So
Reggie was within 50 years.
Was he?
Yes. 50 years goes back to 1975.
Yeah, I'm 47, and I watched him. But yeah. Look, I'm not very good at math.
Yeah.
So, maybe I take that back then. Second. So, okay. But, you know, we got to give Saquon his shine, though, because, I mean, he did come from the greatest university in the country. And the greatest conference in the world. You know, that's the Big Ten. You know, Ike and Corey know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Who I want, guys, the Cleveland thing is not going to happen, but who I would love to get, I want Max Crosby. Max just signed a deal, and he signed a cheap deal, so you're not going to have to necessarily redo his deal because he just got one. I'd rather go get him. And listen, the delegation needs another brother, okay? The exciting whites know what I'm talking about. We need Max Crosby.
Load him up.
Yeah, we might be at our limit right now, to be honest.
No, man, it's a good time. Listen, we're going to add.
Yeah, we're going to add.
No, Max Crosby would be a good one to add. I'm on board with that. Yeah.
So they're going to trade Crosby? Is that the understanding? Do people assume that the Raiders are going to trade Max Crosby? Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like something Pete Carroll would do.
Yeah. I mean, defensive coach comes in. And by the way,
that's your best defensive player.
It's not like Pete Carroll is 38 years old. The guy's 72 or something. He's got to win now. I don't know why they would trade Max Crosby unless they can get some enormous haul that they can build from. But man, I don't understand why they would trade him.
They don't have anything. Like, what are they building? They need a lot of things. So, I do have an answer for you, so I'm ready for you. Spike.
For second act, yeah. So it's Charles's birthday. By the way, I haven't mentioned this in a bit. The winner today for next question gets a $150 gift card from Wild Fork Foods, your number one choice for high quality meats and seafood without breaking the bank. All right, who had a great second act?
So I'm going to nominate a caller too. The guy that said John Madden, I was going to say that. I don't think that's beatable. But here's another great one. Dick Vermeil, he coached the Eagles to their first Super Bowl, did take a 15-year break from the NFL, came back, and won a Super Bowl with the Rams.
Yeah. That's a good one. I will give you credit on that one.
Yeah, coach, that's a good second act.
Now, Chris, I want you to hang on for a second here, because we got a note that you I think you called the midday show, and you were angling again for Eagles Insider of the Year. So let's play that audio real quick, Fran, and then we'll get Chris's reaction.
And I'm going to leave you with, I'm going to break some news on your show.
Okay, let's hear it. Yeah, we're ready. All ears.
Zach Bond is going to sign a 3-year contract, and it will be announced before free agency.
Oh. Look, Chris in Middletown with sources. Chris Sources over here. I like
trying
it.
To get that. What's that? The insider of the year?
Well, you know what? If you hit that, if it's 3 years before the start of free agency, we will tell the afternoon show, Chris, good phone call, that you insider of the year, a late entry.
If I'm not mistaken, Chris's track record this season was a little spotty.
Yeah, and there's a reason why he's not currently in the insider of the year power rankings. But, I mean, you know, there's always a way to change that. You get something right.
All right, so two things. First of all, of course he's going to sign a 3-year deal. But the second thing is, I don't think they can sign him before a free agency because he's a free agent.
No, they can.
Can they?
Yeah.
Even though
he's their player.
But he's not their player anymore.
He is until free agency starts.
Oh, okay, so they could just extend him.
There's a window that they can sign him. There's a window there where they can't sign him.
Okay. You're going to need, Insider Chris, you're going to need numbers.
I
got all the numbers for you, but I just want to say this. I did officially tell Jack, you can remove me. I don't want the shine of Insider. But I will give you a number, Spike.
Okay.
It's going to be $20 million or very close to $20 million guaranteed.
All right, but what is the guarantee? What's the total number?
3 or 30.
Okay. He's
it's in the ballpark.
I've seen people do this. This is
in the ballpark.
Listen, and again, this is to be discussed off air.
Yeah.
But, and I told Jack he had to vault this, so I don't ever want to share it on the air. But there's another huge one that no one's talked about that I texted Jack. You could ask him. He'll go through the details.
All right. There he is, Chris from Middletown. Thank you, Chris. So.
I think we all can guess that it's probably going to be a 3-year deal.
Yeah. Yes. Congratulations, Chris. Thanks for breaking the news. It's unbelievable. Eddie doesn't want any credit for it. So the Phillies are going to try a new lineup this year with Trey Turner leading off. Kyle Schwarber, I assume, hits fourth. We hit Bohm third, Bryce Harper hitting second, even though Bryce is not super thrilled with that, but he'll do it because he's a team guy.
Anywhere from 2 to 4.
He will hit wherever they want as long as it's between 2 and 4. So one-third of the lineup he will hit. So here's what Trey Turner had to say about hitting leadoff.
Rob said a couple times this offseason, they just talked about hitting the wall. Just your reaction to that?
Yeah. I would like it. I've always hit one or two for the most part in my career. I hit a little three, but one or two early on. And, I think it would be fun, be a little different. I've been in that tool for a few years now, but kind of get back to a little bit more speed and have that aspect would be fun.
Do you think you could run more if you're hitting leadoff and Bryce is hitting directly behind you?
Yeah, I've run a lot more. I've said that a lot in my career in general. I could have run a lot more throughout my entire career, but it's more about scoring runs. I don't really care about stealing the base. It's more about scoring the runs. So Yeah, you know, I think at times in the last few years, and even when I played in Washington, L.A., there was times where, you know, I could steal base, but I got to stay there to let, you know, those guys hit, and that's part of the game. And definitely could steal more. I'm not going to act like I could steal 70, 80 bases or anything like that, but, you know, there's a handful of times where the opportunity's there, and for a stolen base specifically, but that's not always the, you know, the right play, I guess.
So I love stealing bases. I think stealing bases is one of the, like, as an offense, if you have the pitcher and the defense worried about you taking an extra base, mm-hmm. it can affect the entire, like, you can change the entire course of a game by stealing one base at the right time. Trey Turner is certainly fast. I appreciate them trying something. The Trey Turner I've watched, now I've only watched one everyday season of Trey Turner, and that is last year. Mm-hmm. Like watching every single game. Trey Turner does not seem like a leadoff hitter to me. Mm-hmm.
What is a leadoff hitter?
Well, a leadoff hitter works, counts, prioritizes getting on base as opposed to power. Like he seems sort of like, he's a weird guy because watching him, I wouldn't expect his numbers to look as good as they do at the end of the year because he's a sort of a frustrating player to watch. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't seem like a guy who's going to get up there and work counts and take a walk over a hit, you know, so he can get on base. That just doesn't scream Trey Turner to me. Now, it doesn't scream leadoff hitter. It screams leadoff hitter to me more than Kyle Schwarber does. It's a neat thing, the Kyle Schwarber hitting leadoff thing does. I don't know.
Do you think there's a leadoff hitter on the team?
I don't know.
Well,
yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that they're trying to. Like I said at the beginning, I appreciate them trying stuff.
Right.
I do think Bryce Harper is a better, if he was tasked with that job, would do a better job at it than Trey Turner would,
mm-hmm.
Because he's a better hitter than Trey Turner is. Mm-hmm. Even Alec Bohm is a better hit. Like just. His numbers aren't as good, but if you told him get up there, work pitches, he's just way too slow. I get it. I understand it. I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make. Now, if his approach is changed, all that stuff they talked about, he could be, right? I mean, he's a good hitter. He hasn't always been a power hitter in his career. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that the Trey Turner that I've watched is not a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's a natural leadoff hitter, but again, like you say, it depends on what they're trying to do with this lineup.
Right.
For years, people with Schwarber being up there as a leadoff guy. And then last year, Schwarber didn't hit as many home runs, but he certainly walked a lot more, and his on-base percentage was a lot higher. But then you get on the base paths, and do you clog up the bases?
Right.
You know, Trey Turner talking about not being able to run. Well, part of that is who's in front of him.
Well, we had the same conversation with Bohm about Bohm not being a cleanup mm-hmm. hitter. But then you say, well, but then what are you going to do?
You know,
if you put Bryce there, then Bryce has nobody. Castellanos behind him. You mm-hmm. don't want that. You know?
And they do the whole lefty righty thing.
Right.
You can never forget about how important that is.
Oh yes.
God forbid if we ever put back to back righties or lefties.
How would we ever survive? Great hitter. If they're good hitters, they're good hitters.
That's the way I've always looked at it. You know what? Here's what I hope. I hope they stick with it for a while.
Yep, I'm with you on that one.
Hope they stick with it because this could be something where Trey feels comfortable being back in that spot. There's a sense of responsibility being the leadoff guy. Maybe this gets him locked back in
mm-hmm.
to where he knows. Because it's almost as if Trey Turner, the 2 years he's been here, as if he's almost had to be covered up or, you know, the whole standing ovation thing. I guess he appreciated it, but I'm sure it was embarrassing to him, like he's some charity case when this guy has been an all-star player and a World Series champion. Like, it's been messing with him the 2 years that he's been here. He started off as the leadoff guy and it only lasted 20 games, I believe, the first time around. They had to move him because Schwarber maybe didn't like being where he was, so they put him up there. If they stick with it, this could be something good for Trey Turner. Now,
give him an identity.
Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, they got me in the leadoff spot. Now they're doing this because they feel confident in me. I can start to get my mojo back, my swagger back.
And maybe he doesn't try to hit as many home runs,
right.
Honestly. You know,
right.
And maybe it fixes him. All right, you talk me into it.
There we go.
Yeah. 215-592-9494.
That's what happens to the people that's known me on hold waiting.
Yes. See, now I know. Now I know the issue. All right, show over. I'm talked into it. There we go. You know, Ike knows two things, talking me into stuff and meat. That's the other thing he knows.
Come on, man.
Well, it's true. How about meat before we get back to the farm?
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Now that the parade is over, we can talk about more meat.
Yep.
Tackle your family's menu with the official hot dog of the Philadelphia Eagles from Dietz & Watson. Fire up that grill with perfectly smoked premium Franks and sausages from Dietz & Watson. Parties and lunches are always better with condiments, freshly sliced meats, artisan cheeses, and Dietz Nuts meat snacks. You heard that right. Dietz Nuts meat snacks. Free from Dietz & Watson. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find the local retailer near you. Dietz & Watson. It's a family thing.
By the way, now that we're talking about Trey, do you have the Steve Cohen audio there? So Steve Cohen was on the podcast with
Howie Rose.
With Howie Rose, the play-by-play guy for the Mets.
The first time you said that, I was like, why was Steve Cohen on a podcast with Howie Roseman?
Yeah, with Howie Rose. And he was actually talking about the Trey Turner standing ovation thing. Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets. Here's what he had to say.
I'm asking the fans for a little patience. I'm asking the fans and, you know, everybody that, you know, watches the Mets to embrace these young players. And it was pretty fascinating that, you know, the situation with Trey Turner last year, where he got off to a really bad start and the fans gave him a standing ovation at a game right at the.
And this is in Philadelphia.
This is in Philadelphia, right? Which is like, wow. OK, you wouldn't expect it from them. And then he went, and right there, it turned around his season. Players, you know, they get in funks, and sometimes they're adjusting the new surroundings. And so I'm asking the fans, to give our young players a chance and our new players a chance. And let's see how the season develops. And I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised where how we end up.
So the Trey Turner standing ovation thing. Mm. Is it's just one moment that will never happen again. Do you know what I mean? Like I
are you sure about that?
Well, I think
it won't happen for Trey Turner again.
I think pointing to it as an example of fans. I think fans, and you made this point, because some of the younger fans, if you're 30 years old or 35 years old, you're generally more positive because you've lived through, the Eagles have been good
pretty much good times.
Yeah, most of your entire life, the Eagles have been good, and they've won two Super Bowls. The Phillies have been good for half of your life and won a World Series and been to three.
Three of them,
Even the Sixers have not won, but like over the last 10 years have at least been
good basketball.
Good and interesting most of the time. So you mentioned that you just think the fans are not jaded the way that the older ones like me are because they didn't go through this. So that is part of it. But like you can't ask for Steve Cohen asking for the fans to be that way.
I agree.
That's not how it works.
No.
It just works because everyone wanted it to happen at that moment, and it was a moment.
Yeah.
And what I mean by it'll never happen again is like it just has to happen.
Yeah.
It can't just be an attitude toward, hey, we're always just going to be positive, because then I don't think that's good either. I don't think cheering everyone when they suck is a great idea either.
I agree.
It was just one moment, you know, with a new guy who was struggling and it caught fire, and that's what it is.
I totally agree. I was on a podcast the other day talking about fans here. Oh, no, I wasn't. It was when I was down at the in Millville.
Okay.
At the Elks Club.
Yep.
And I was just talking about the appreciation for fans and why fans should never change, and how unique the fans are in this area, Philadelphia sports fans, how they hold their players accountable, how they hold the teams accountable. The teams and the players may not like the feeling of that in the moment, but I guarantee you, when they get a chance to step back away from it, those that took it for what it was intended to be will appreciate it. 'Cause all you really did was force them to be their very best. Instead of relaxing on their laurels, resting on their laurels, resting on your money that you've made, and not caring about what the fans care about. The fans here care about effort. They care that you care. And they want to win. That's what fans want. They're going to support you. They're going to support you. But that's what they want in return for that. And when they get that in return for that, you, as a franchise or as players, you get showered and covered in praise and undaunted loyalty. And don't mistake criticism for being disloyal.
Right.
Because the fans are the loyal ones. These are the ones that are here for decades upon decades.
The ones booing when it's bad are the ones you should care about the most.
Yes.
The loyal ones aren't the ones that say everything that you do is good.
Yes.
Most of those fans aren't around when the team stinks. All they know is when they're good.
Yep.
Right? And I guarantee you, like Steve Cohen, like you don't get the patient thing. And if you're you and your team went to the NLCS last year and you just signed the biggest free agent in baseball history, I guarantee you, if Juan Soto in June is hitting .246 with six home runs, they're going to friggin' boo him. Yeah. He's not getting a standing ovation.
No, they're not giving Juan Soto a standing ovation. No. That's not happening.
No.
And by the way, I wouldn't have learned about the fans the way I feel I know them now if I didn't do this.
Right.
This has allowed me to appreciate fans a lot more and understand where they come from. It's not just about, that's all you want to do is complain. No, man, this fan base, this is in their bloodstreams. These teams are in their, it's in their veins, man. It's what they get up. It's part of their daily lives.
Well, we heard from the guy the other day who said his mom passed away and instructed them, I want to be buried in my Eagles shirt and my Eagles necklace and with an Eagles hat in there and this memento from this game. That's like...
You ain't getting that in Miami.
No.
You ain't getting that in Los Angeles.
Yep.
Right? Like, you're not getting that in Dallas.
No.
You're not getting that in, Houston or, you may get it in Chicago.
But
man, this, and I think players that come here, like Saquon, and Saquon played in New York. I guarantee you Saquon has a different appreciation for Eagles fans now.
Oh, absolutely.
Having played in front of them. Now, he was on the other side of it, catching it every time he came down here. But I guarantee you he has a different appreciation for this fan base.
Yeah, and they're not with football, and certainly not with the Giants. Those fans up there are not the same way that we are here. They care.
You would know.
I would say Jets fans are more similar to us than Giants fans are. Jets fans are just... are like the version of us where it never got good. Right. You know what I mean? They're just, imagine if we
never were good. Yeah. Yes.
I want you to sit right now and imagine if the Eagles didn't make the playoffs for 13 straight years. 13. Imagine what we would be like if we didn't make the playoffs. Oh, by the way, take away these two the Super Bowls we had in the middle.
We missed the playoffs two straight years? When's the last time that happened? I felt like we would have melted just missing the playoffs two straight years.
Was it the last 2 years of Andy? Because we had the 8-8 year.
You know what it was, the last two, yep.
We had the 8-8 year, and then his last year, they were 4-12, right? So it had to be then.
Oh, you know what? It was Chip's last year and Doug's first year.
Oh, there you go.
Chip's last year, Doug's first year.
You're right. And the last 2 years of Andy.
That was three straight years, no playoffs.
Was it?
Chip's final 2 years, he didn't make the playoffs. He was 10-6 the second year, but we didn't get in.
Isn't it crazy to think Chip was here 3 years?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like he was here 3 years. It seems like he was here 6 months.
Or 6 years.
Yeah, I guess it depends on who you talk to. Coming up next, we'll get to your calls, 215-592-9494. And the top five at five. Well, the top five at five is usually handled by Jack Fritz. Mm-hmm. Jack is out. We do have an artificial intelligence version of Jack we've created. It thinks on its own. But it cannot lie. It is Honest Jack. We had Honest Jack in last time that Jack was on paternity leave, and Honest Jack comes back with the top five. I don't know what it's about. We will talk to Honest Jack and see what it's about. So that is coming up next. This is WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.